today's first reading was a very strange story about the deception of Jacob deceiving his father Isaac. Let's think about this a little bit. This section of the book of Genesis is mostly about Abraham. Abraham, our father in faith, Abraham who trusted God, who followed God's will, who, in the face of every possible objection, continued to believe that God's promises would come true. And Isaac is the son of that promise. Isaac is the one who was given to Abraham in his old age. Well, the story of Isaac is much, much shorter than the story of Abraham, and Isaac is nowhere near as great as Abraham, but he is the chosen descendant of Abraham, and it's through Isaac that the blessing of God is going to be passed on to the succeeding generations. So in this story, yesterday when we read about it, Isaac wasn't even married yet. He just met his wife, Rebecca. But today, we skip to the end of Isaac's life, and Isaac decides to give his special blessing to his firstborn son, Esau. Now, Esau and Jacob were twins. So, yes, Esau came out first, but they're basically born at the same time. And when they were still in the womb, the Lord told Rebekah, the mother, that the younger son would be the favored one. That Jacob, that she didn't know their names yet, but Jacob would be the one whom God chose. So Rebecca knew this before they were even born. God knew it before they were even conceived. God's plan is bigger than anything we can understand. But when Isaac is old and he wants to bless his older son, I don't know why Isaac thought that. Did Isaac not know that Jacob was the chosen one? Seems to me he must have known, but either he forgot or he didn't know, or he was old and he was losing it. I don't know. So he says he's going to bless his older son Isaac. Isaac is going to bless his older son Esau. Rebecca hears this, and she comes up with a scheme to substitute Jacob for Esau. She takes Jacob, she puts him in Esau's clothes, she cooks a meal, and she... Rebecca is the schemer here, and we didn't read about it in this reading, but Jacob at first is a little bit hesitant to go along with the lie, because what happens if he gets caught? What happens if Isaac recognizes that he's lying? And Rebecca says, I'll take the blame. If there's any curse, let it be on me. Well, then we hear the whole story here. It really works. Jacob deceives his father, even though Isaac asks him many times, are you really Esau, are you really my son? And Jacob lies again and again and again. He's a liar. And in the end, he gets the blessing. Jacob gets the blessing. So this is a weird story, and it if we don't take it properly, it makes it seem as if liars get the blessing, and that can't be what it means. So let's back off a little bit. In fact, whenever I read this story, I have to mention St. Louis de Montfort, and many people in Anouilh have read True Devotion to Mary, his great, St. Louis de Montfort's great work on devotion to Mary. He has a whole chapter on this story, and he reads it allegorically. He reads it in such a way as to make Rebecca an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Jacob as the image of someone who is entrusting himself to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so Mary dresses us up with grace, with blessings, and pleases the Lord in such a way that we get the blessing. Okay, now that's allegorical reading. It's not the biblical reading. And it's not the obvious meaning. That's an interpretation by a great saint. But the obvious reading is that Jacob's a liar, Rebecca's a liar, and yet they get the blessing anyway. So what is this all about? We have to look at it from God's perspective. God already chose Jacob from the womb. God already had a plan for him to be blessed. And Rebecca knew it, but Rebecca didn't trust the Lord. And Jacob didn't trust the Lord. They thought they had to do it themselves. They thought they had to grab the blessing. They had to manipulate to get the blessing. That's not how God works. So thinking like that is wrong thinking. What should Rebecca have done? Well, probably she should have talked to her husband. She should have gone straight to him and said, "Say, my beloved husband, Isaac, you understand that you know the plan of God. You know the plan of God. You know that Jacob is the chosen one. Jacob, who is also your son." I mean, they're both his sons. And she should have spoken to him with respect and reminded him of the plan of God. And even if Isaac didn't agree with his wife, God was still determined to give Jacob the blessing. So I think it says it very well in the Meditation on the Honorable Way. I don't know if you read this. There's a line here that puts it very well. In the case of Jacob, the blessing is given to him not because of his deception, but despite it. Not because of his deception, but despite it. God was going to bless him anyway. And Jacob's deception and Rebecca's deception actually makes the whole thing worse, because it creates a terrible division between the two brothers, Esau and Jacob. Jacob has to go off to a far off place, and he's kind of in exile for years before he can come back to the promised land. So, but the point here is, if we trust in God, if we trust in God's desire to bless us, then we receive the blessing. And if we manipulate and lie, we actually get in the way of God's blessing. It doesn't change God's mind, we just complicate things. This is why Jesus encourages us so often to be like little children, to be simple, to be humble, to be trusting. Because the schemers and the deceivers and the liars and the manipulators, they just get in the way of God's plan. Maybe they even exclude themselves if they remain so fixated on their own will and they don't submit to God's will, then they can really ruin it for themselves. But God never changes his desire to bless us. Some of you have already read the reading for tomorrow, the gospel for tomorrow, where Jesus sends out the disciples two by two. He tells them, go out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Go out with nothing. Don't bring any money. Don't bring any food. Trust in the Lord. A worker, a servant of the Lord, trust in the Lord. You don't have to grasp and deceive and lie and take charge. No, trust in God. Now, today's gospel gives us an image of the difference between the lying, scheming Jacob and the childlike spirit that Mary teaches us. In today's gospel, the disciples of John ask the question about fasting, and Jesus, instead of talking about fasting, talks about weddings, and he talks about wineskins, and as if he changes the subject altogether. But he deliberately does this because he realizes these questioners have to come up with a completely different way of thinking. They have a set way of thinking about fasting and about what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be holy. And I've got to get them to think completely differently. Think not that you're striving to be holy and you're doing everything right. Think of yourself as a guest at a wedding. A guest at a wedding doesn't have to do anything. You just celebrate. You don't prepare the food. The celebration is not about you. You just get to enjoy it. So think differently. That's what Jesus is saying. And then he tells this, or uses this image of wine and wineskins. Old wineskins, as long as they have old wine in them, they remain intact. But if you put new wine in them, they burst. Wineskins are like leather, right? They're animal skins that we use to hold the wine while it ferments. And it gets old. Wineskins get old with the wine, and if you put new wine in, it just doesn't work. So he says, what you're supposed to do when you have new wine, you put it in a fresh wineskin. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you're going to receive the new teaching of Jesus, that's the new wine. The gospel is new wine. The law of love is new wine. You have to change your whole way of thinking. The old wineskin is something like Jacob and Rebecca. Self-will, cleverness, power, manipulation, deception. That's old wineskin. The gospel can't remain in that. It won't work. It'll spill out. You can't hold it. You can't manipulate the gospel or use lies to further the kingdom of God. It won't work. No, we have to have a new way. And the new way is the way of humility, of trust, of simplicity. Actually, it's the way of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's First Saturday, we entrust ourselves again to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to her Immaculate Heart. Mary is exactly the opposite of Jacob and Rebecca. She doesn't lie. She doesn't manipulate. She entrusts herself completely to God. And because she does that, God can use her to do great things, far greater than she could ever do herself. This is what the Rebecca and Jacob didn't understand. They thought they had to do it themselves in order to get the blessing. No. It's a mistake we often make. I've got to be better. I have to do better. I have to prove myself. I have to prove myself worthy. No. Trust in God. Trust in God. Leave sin behind. Leave self-will behind. Leave manipulations and lies behind. And trust like a lamb. Like a lamb in the midst of wolves. Don't trust in money. Don't trust in possessions. Don't trust in power. Trust in the Lord. So that's the way of a fresh wineskin. And when we do that, when we take that leap of faith, that step into newness, then God can do the rest. God can give the blessing that He's been determined to give us from before we were even conceived. So we don't have to manipulate God. He already has a great plan in mind for us, better than we could ever think of. So let us, like our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, like her, put our whole trust in God. Let go of all that scheming and manipulating. And say, okay, Lord, your will be done.